This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's Byte.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
2, 3, 4. If you're looking for advice from a real girl who might not have the answers, but goddamn she'll try, just a tip and you'll be on your way. With Meg and Batoon on Friday.
Welcome to Just a Tip, an advice podcast hosted by me, Megan Batoon. Every time I try and spell the word recommendation, I do it wrong. So that's why I have a friend here to help me help you. Hawk, hello.
Hi, I actually don't know if I can help you with that problem.
Can you spell the word recommendation?
R-E-C, rec.
I know, see, that's where I get caught up.
Is it M-M? You know, I feel like whenever I spell like the Philippines too, it seems like it'll have two L's.
Philippines, one L, two N's, right? I think recommendation is one C and two M's. Is that correct?
All right. Okay. We're giving advice, so that's a great start, I guess.
I think the first word, the first like long word that I knew how to spell was encyclopedia. And it was like when I was in grade school to where it was impressive. Because I'd be like, Mom, Dad, listen to me spell the word encyclopedia. And they were like, wow, this is really good.
Right. Or I think we used to like spell Mississippi.
Oh, yes.
And you would just boast about it too.
Yeah.
Like, your friends or your parents. And
so many letters in the word Mississippi.
Yeah.
I feel like it's too many letters.
And then like spell it backwards and things like that.
You can spell Mississippi backwards?
I used to. I don't know if I still remember it.
Let's see it.
M-I-S-S-I-S-S-I-P-P-I.
Holy crap.
I-P-P-I-S-S-I-S-S-I-M. Oh, I do. Just won't help with any life thing, but it's like riding
totally.
A bike. It's just
right.
Like, they say, can you do it? I guess you can do it.
Well, do you have any other hidden talents? I guess that is one.
I have a lot of hidden, I don't know if you can actually call them talents, but like little things about my body that's a little different than the average. Like on my elbow, a long time ago, this bone came off. So there's a bone.
Came off?
Yeah. So it's,
that
it's
track.
Like, it's
why
just
is it
like
off?
Floating inside.
Ew! Oh my gosh! It looks like a little marble inside
so
of your
like,
skin.
It's not going to help with anything, but it's
is
there.
That...
it's there.
You're right. I don't know if it's a talent.
Yeah. Well, you'll get a reaction out of someone. So
you definitely do.
Yeah.
I don't. I guess, I mean, that bit. you get a reaction out of people.
Definitely not a talent. But.
I don't have any. I can move one eye at a time. Isolation. This is terrible for a podcast.
Isolation. I know no one can see anything.
Isolation. I'll show it. I'll put it on the Instagram. I just made an Instagram for the account.
Okay.
Or for the podcast. It's at Just a Tip Podcast. I'll put my isolation and I'll get you showing us your little skin marble on there.
Yeah.
So go check it out on, on the Instagram. Anyway, you may know Hawk from so many things. You are so geniusly talented visually. You may recognize him from America's Best Dance Crew on MTV, two-time winner with Quest Crew, but you may not know that we stalked you quickly.
Oh, no.
And we found that you had a cameo in Alvin and the Chipmunks, the squeakquel.
Yes.
What was that?
Well, that was a long time ago. Yeah, I think that was right after we did ABDC.
Okay.
And we basically went on it as Quest Crew, but I think they named us different, but we were just doing the same sort of thing. And it's like within the story, there's a high school talent show. And because we're Asian, we look a little bit younger and we qualify as high school students.
Sure.
And we were competing, I guess.
Wait, so you weren't chipmunks?
No, but I think towards the end, they put some of our like stunts and movements on the chipmunks.
Ending
credits or something. And I had no idea they were going to do that. So that was like a fun little bonus to see.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Have you ever been a cartoon aside from that? Like, have you? Because you do so much movement stuff. And I'm sure you've done like, what is it called when they have the dots on your face? Like, it's like CGI except for on
motion capture.
Yes.
I actually haven't done that. I know a couple, I think Was it Robot Chicken or something? They did some Quest Crew stuff.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but it would always be randomly we would find it, you know?
Weird.
Yeah, really weird.
Have you ever had this happen to you? I know it happened to, I'm sure it's happened to a lot of our friends because it happened to me and I also don't put like that much dance content out, but people overseas would steal choreography and do it for like anything.
Yeah, and even like a national TV show, you know,
right,
in the Philippines or India. But it's so, yeah, it's to the point that where it's like, yeah, go, like, if you guys can win with that, you know, go for it.
You don't feel weird at all?
Maybe ages ago. But
okay,
now
you don't care.
No, I mean, it's to the point that, you know, I'm sure I learned from someone like that at one point, you know, and if they can advance from using that material and then make some stuff that I, like, myself or anyone of us couldn't even make, then it's just like a plus, you know?
That's totally true. I guess I felt weird in the beginning because I'm like, there's no credit given.
Right.
And I know it still happens all the time, but it's like, it was weird because my choreography was in like a music video.
Oh.
And I was like, this doesn't seem right. It was like a K-pop girl band a couple years ago.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I hate this a lot.
Right.
But there's, what can you do besides?
Yeah.
Like,
and I think though nowadays with the internet, like all the information, it's harder to hide things.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like if you do that, you're going to get bashed because, you know, it's not like people won't see it. You know? So I feel like, yeah, just let the universe do its thing. You know, they take it, they take it.
Right.
I mean, there's only so much you can actually control, you know?
Yeah. I guess in life, so much that you can't control. But that's interesting that you said that you can advance by, I guess, not copying in a way. But I think that's how I developed like my own dance style or my comedic style. Like I have all these people that I look up to or I watch these movies and I'm like, I love the way that they write these jokes. I love the way that they deliver them. And until you can find your own voice, you kind of are emulating somebody else that you look up to.
Exactly. And I feel like at some point, the people that you looked up to did the same thing too.
For sure.
And I feel like because, you know, come from like the street dance background and biting, such a big no-no. And I completely understand that side of things too.
Yeah.
But I think at this point in my life, I'm more so of, it's okay to copy it as long as you advance it. You know, if you just take it and do exactly the same or less, I feel like you're not giving respect to the art or to the craft, you know, like in the art world, nothing changes, you know, it's already been done.
Yeah.
So you're not actually adding to the mix. So
right.
I feel like if you can take it, add your own flair, go for it. And if everyone does that as a whole, the level was just going to get higher and higher.
Yeah, definitely. That's kind of like a add-on, that game.
Exactly.
That's a dance game, but is it another game? Like one person does a dance move and then you go down the line and the next person does your move and then they add on one move.
I bet you there's probably that. A certain version of that in any world.
Yeah.
You know?
I should rewind back to the word biting. I don't know if people know what biting is. Clementine, do you know what the word biting means? Or is it, okay, it's a dance term because I never know if some terms are dance terms or if some are like widely known.
Yeah.
But biting, you could probably explain it in better terms, but just like blatantly copying something that somebody else is doing and passing it off as your own.
Yes.
And it's horrific. And it's offensive.
It is. I think usually, and this I agree with the biting side, if you're taking someone's style, flow, move, it's not just one thing as a hint. It's like the whole package. And they're saying that to you. It's like, I don't know.
It's like being an imposter.
Yeah. It's like, you know, add some more stuff and make it your own. why are you satisfied just with that?
Is the... I don't know anything about hand motions anymore, but is biting the hand motion for biting like still having your two arms? Okay, so if you're listening, well, obviously you're listening to this and not looking at it, but if you have your two arms and you're making fists with both of them, you cross them over each other and then you open them up and down as if like it's a draw. Does that explain
it
correctly?
It's like the equal sign,
isn't
it?
It's like, you're doing like arms on top of each other and then you open them and close them. That's biting. And you should do that to someone that's copying you to their face.
People listen and be like, what are they talking about? They're trying it. It's completely wrong.
They're doing handstands or something. That's not right. Okay, but this is not a podcast about biting. It's a podcast about giving advice. People write us their sticky situations and we do our best to help them, advise them, give any insight that we can from our personal experiences. Are you ready to help?
Am I ready? I think I am.
Okay, great. Let's see how we can help. Question number one. Do you have any tips on how to be an early riser? I find it really hard to have motivation to get up early in the morning, and I think it really affects my productivity. I would love to get up early and have time to work out or enjoy fresh air, but I find myself sleeping in almost every day. Help! From Rested in Seattle.
I'm actually questioning if I wrote that question.
Oh, really?
I'm not even kidding.
Oh, this is exciting then.
Oh, my
because
God.
Because we're on opposite sides of this.
Okay.
I love the morning time. Basically, when the sun goes down, have you ever heard of seasonal affective disorder?
No.
Is that what it's called?
Heard of
it's
it.
Like in the.
Sounds serious.
It does sound serious. I think it is. But for, I guess, parts of the world that go dark quicker or.
Okay.
Places like Seattle that are just always rainy or uh-huh. have actual seasons and not Los Angeles, they get sad because of the lack of sunlight.
Right,
but
right,
I feel
right.
like I have that every day when the sun goes down.
Okay.
Because I love daytime
okay,
so
okay.
much. I'm such a morning person. Like as soon as, even if I'm up at 6 o'clock and the sun is down, I'm still sad because the sun's not up.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah,
even though
yeah.
I'm a morning person, it's got to be with the sun.
Okay, so do you actually get a tiny bit sad if you're walking in the sunlight and then you walk in the shade a little bit and then you go back out?
I guess it would like, toggle.
Huh. Oh, you know what? I'm back.
I'm like a cat. Oh, cats okay. love sunlight. If I have like one
they
shard
do.
Of sunlight, my kittens will be right in that.
My dog's a cat in that.
Yeah.
So yeah, I guess he's a cat. But
sunlight's the best. I guess he's a cat.
But yeah, waking up, it's funny because when I have an important project or if I'm on the job, it doesn't matter if it's 7 a.m., 6 a.m., 4 a.m., I can wake up like that.
Yeah.
But without that, like just subconsciously, my mind knows that I can relax a little bit and I'm the worst
right.
at waking up when it comes down to that. You know, some people like Gina, my girlfriend, you know, she's a hairstylist, so it's more of like a steady schedule. Mm-hmm. She has to wake up, so it kind of becomes a habit. And I feel like with mine, it's just so random,
right.
you know. So I think by default, I do tend to sleep in, and I hate it.
If you didn't have a job, what time would you normally wake up?
Like 10, 11.
That's not bad. I know a guy that sleeps until 1 or 2.
That I would hate
like,
myself.
That's your yeah. whole life. When I've only woken up at like 1 or 2 if I was like wildly hungover. And then
right,
I'm like,
right.
oh, I don't
or
have a life.
Or a holiday or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah.
But do you like, are you a night owl or do you like the daytime?
I am. Mm. I am a professional procrastinator.
Nice.
A procrastinator.
Procrastinator.
Yes.
Did you make that up? Is that TM? Is that
I
trademark?
I think so. I mean, I've never heard it before.
I love that.
Yeah. I think I treat it so professionally, which is very bad. You know, I love procrastinating.
Really? You know? Does it help you in the end when you know you're on a time crunch or do you like perform better under pressure?
I definitely do. You know, I think as a little artist and everyone that, you know, when you the deadline is really close and mm-hmm. it's so obvious you can't make it. But when you do that little adrenaline rush,
yeah.
you're like, oh, I made it. Maybe I could have done one day less next, you know. And yeah, I hate that. I love it.
Yeah.
yeah.
But that's good that you love it because I hate it in general.
Oh, really?
But I think I do it sometimes, especially if I have to choreograph for something. It's mm-hmm. really only dancing because I take so long because I overthink everything.
So do I.
But that makes sense that you do, because if you've never seen Hawk dance, it's very impressive because it's mathematically all, it all checks out. But like for me, like I still am thinking mathematically and like trying to do wordplay and make sure it all hits, but it's all, it's just like, it's kind of just lyrical choreo. But with you, everything has to be angular and kind of the solution you kind of follow through.
Yeah.
You have to... It's going from one place to the other, but you have to go all through all these like cogs and machines.
Right, kind of. And I honestly really wish I can just like not think that deeply and be like,
yeah.
okay, ta-da, next, you know.
Ta-da.
And even when I put my mind to it that I'm going to do that, I yeah. always end up going the deep end, and then it just takes a while to make full counts.
Right.
That doesn't really matter.
Right. I mean, it does, but I get what you mean.
Yeah.
What is your, I guess, process in order to make something like your style? Because there's so many parts of it, and a lot of times it's dealing with more than one body. So, but you only have one body. So how do you do that?
It's really difficult. I have a hard time, you know, when I get together with dancers or multiple people, and if I don't have an idea ready, I hate that environment where they're just like standing there waiting and be like, okay.
Oh, I hate that.
I hate it. And so as much as I can, I try to plan certain ideas that I can try so I can seem like I'm planned, you know?
Right.
But I do, it's like you get really good at planning things, but I feel like the more you do that, you don't have to figure things out on the spot as much. Mm-hmm. So I feel like that power becomes less, which I kind of want to train now. Mm-hmm. You know, so I almost want to go in with nothing so I can train that side.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's scary.
It's really scary.
I'm an over planner in every single aspect. Are you super type A as your personality? I know we have a tiny little dog in here. He's sleeping. He's basically in your shirt. Yeah. I think, Francisco, the dog is part of your anatomy in this moment.
Right,
he is so close to you that you guys are just one at this moment.
If I doubt it's in the mic, but if you guys can hear the stomach growling, it's not me. Trust me, it's Francisco. Okay, just to set the record straight.
But yeah, you're super organized. Are you? Everything has to be in its place. Are you clean?
I'm definitely an over planner. Okay. And I think that's the Japanese side of me, which I feel like sometimes, you know, they plan and structure everything and it's perfect. But sometimes I think because they do that, the process of getting that done becomes more prioritized than the actual final product.
Right.
Whereas sometimes, even if you planned all this, if, I don't know, if the cup falls, like adapting to that might end up being a final product. I think, I won't say everyone, but just as a tendency, the Japanese culture isn't as strong on that side. And
right.
I feel like that's my little weakness that I also want to work on.
Yeah.
Francisco, stop it.
You didn't grow up in Japan though.
I did.
You did?
Okay, so here's my story. Are you ready?
Okay, I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm taking notes. I'm writing your biography.
Okay, so believe it or not, I was actually born in Japan.
Uh-huh.
And then when I was three, I moved to Oxford. Mm-hmm. And it's like an hour away from London, for those who don't know. And then when I was 12, I moved back to Japan.
Okay.
And then when I was 20, I came to the States. And the biggest reason was actually because I was afraid that I was going to forget how to speak English.
No.
That's
the reason?
Yeah, I was that Japanese.
What?
Yeah, because the thing is, I went to public school both in Oxford and in Japan. So it was like when I was in England, I was fully English. And then I was in Japan, I was fully Japanese.
Right.
You know, and unless you go to an international school or you have a job that works with international clients, you know, you don't have to use English in Japan. And if you're Japanese, you can just get by. And I kind of didn't like the English side of me sort of fading away gradually.
Yeah.
And I'd never been to America, so I was like, let's just move there.
Yeah,
let's just go. See what happens.
Like, that's so crazy. I've never been to this place. I'm going to move my entire being there.
Yeah. And actually, no. Originally, I was only supposed to do 2 semesters.
Okay. Here. So you came for school.
I was a foreign exchange student from Japan.
Right.
And I was supposed to do 2 semesters, go back. But then, the education system is very different. In Japan, it's really hard to get into university. But once you're in, you don't do anything for 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, out here, you actually have to do paper and you have to take exams. You have to study.
Yes.
And since my parents were paying for my education, I just thought it would be a waste to not learn anything, you know, going to school 4 years and not learn anything, I just thought it would be a waste. So,
whoa, good for you.
Yeah, I just quit my school in Japan and I just moved out here.
That's so different than I feel like most people think of college, because they're just like, I'm just going to go to get a degree and then kind of like,
I guess,
do nothing. Here's my note on the education system.
Yeah.
I'm not even going to get into high school because that's a whole mess.
Mm.
But I think that I don't think that we should have to go into college right after high school because you don't know what you're interested in.
Right.
If I were to go to school now, I would get a degree in psychology. But when I was younger, yes. I was like graphic design.
Uh-huh.
But I mean, like, I love graphic design still, yeah. but now I'm so interested in all this other stuff.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't know until now. Like, I'm 27.
Yeah, I completely agree. Even the stuff you learn in high school,
mm-hmm.
you would be more interested to learn it now.
Oh my God. Like, do you know how much I know about history?
Oh my God.
Nothing.
Yeah.
None. It's I know nothing.
You just have to remember things for the exam, you know?
Right.
It's just so unattractive.
Yeah.
And that's when you have to learn it. You know, you don't know, you can't appreciate it.
I feel like, let me know if you would subscribe to this idea if I were the teacher okay. of a high school history class. Because since we do have to learn things and cram our brains for exams and then yeah. forget about it immediately yeah. because it's like, it's in the textbook, you have to do these worksheets, and then it's kind of done. What if my class was, you come in, I tell a story, I tell the story of history, but I tell it like a story, like an actual, not like right. gossip, but just like that we know these people.
Yeah.
Or like I paint pictures of like this actual person in like their actual life and kind of put into terms of like millennial terms.
Right.
And then
right,
we
right.
all have a discussion on it. Like, what do you think? What would you do in this scenario? This is what happened.
Right.
This is history.
Yeah. No, 100%. I feel like it has to be like interesting,
yeah.
you know? It has to be more than just, oh, I have to do this, you know?
That's the worst. Are you a good test taker, though?
Like back when I was in school, you mean?
Yeah, because the last test I took was like a love language test. Yeah, I mean, we're all going to get good grades on any personality test.
Yeah, I can't remember the last time I took a test.
Yes,
yeah,
a driver's test?
Oh, yeah.
I failed my first driver's test.
I think, oh, no, I failed my first driving test.
Yes.
Yeah.
Same.
So did I. I think everyone does once.
Really?
Yeah. Don't they?
I don't know.
Or is it just us
two? I think
two?
It's just you and
okay.
me. And I have a friend from back home who told me a story one time, and he was like, he was so tired.
Yeah.
He, I guess, didn't get sleep before his driver's test. And so they pull out him and the driver, I guess, like teacher, professor, whoever. What do they call those people? Instructors.
Driving instructor. There we
yeah,
go.
Yeah, there it is. Wow. One profession. So the instructor was like, okay, turn left. And my friend Tony turned right. And that was like the first thing. And then the instructor was like, all right, man, let's just pull back into the parking lot. You're
See,
not
so
passing.
Nervous and, you know.
Dude, nerves are the worst. Nerves change who you are
yeah.
from the inside out.
Oh, my God.
Being nervous, it makes you not you.
Yeah.
How do you deal with nerves? Because I was telling my friend yesterday, we performed at a comedy show for a friend.
Uh-huh.
We were just doing like a 30-second dance bit, just a quick yeah. little ha-ha. And even before that, like the stakes are so low. I mean, there's only maybe like 100 people in the audience, and it wasn't even our show.
Right.
Like I wasn't doing a solo,
right.
but I was still super nervous. And normally I do like jumping jacks or like push-ups to
yeah.
try and get my body warmed up. But do you have any rituals before you perform? Or I guess, are you even nervous in general?
I always get nervous
still.
With everything.
Oh, everything.
Everything. Well, not everything, but a lot of things. Like sometimes, actually a lot of times, even before I teach a workshop, I get nervous.
Oh, same. Oh, yeah.
And I think it's actually a good thing. I think you get nervous because you care.
Yes.
You know, the moment that's gone, you're not going to get nervous because you don't have to worry about it, you know?
Yeah. I get nervous talking to people a lot, which is weird because I have a podcast.
Well, that you might want to get checked, but...
Yeah, doctor, please help me. I'm scared of talking to people and now I have a podcast. What have I done?
It's okay.
I've dug my
grave.
You're
talking to the mic, so it's okay. No one else is here. We're actually not even in the same room right now.
Yeah.
There's a massive, you guys can't see, but there's a massive
yeah.
glass wall.
We're broadcasting from Japan. Hawk has left the building and
yep.
the country.
And that's why you should wake up early in the morning.
That is right. Love that. Full circle.
There we
you
go.
Remember. I guess, okay, if I have a tip on getting, there's a book called, I don't want to even tell you what it's called because I haven't read it.
Wow. That's a good recommendation to begin with.
I've heard about this book. Once I read it, I will tell you about it. But I'm sure there's like a myriad of books that basically tell you the same thing of set your alarm for, I guess, like 5 a.m., 6 a.m., something early enough to get the first hour of your day to do whatever you want. So
mm-hmm.
the first hour of your day sets a tone for the rest of the time that you're awake.
Right, right.
So
right.
the first hour of your day, get up, drink water, wash your face, feel refreshed, meditate, work out, work on you, read, write, kind of do you. Mm-hmm. Because the rest of the time, we're kind of reacting to the world around us. Like we're right. going to work or we're in traffic or someone's saying something to us that we have to react to. The first hour we can do the action versus the reaction.
Mm-hmm. Actually, I do have one tip that an actual advice okay. that I think I read it somewhere and okay. I actually tried it. And I, you know, for the times I actually do wake up.
Okay.
Is just complete a very simple task.
Like making your bed.
It could be. I think the one I actually read was making a bed. But like it could be if there's dishes, you know, from last night, get it done. Mm-hmm. And it could be something so simple that can be done in 10 minutes. But what I've experienced is the fact that it doesn't even matter what it is, but the fact that you completed a task sort of starts up your momentum.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, because I think I personally have a really hard time actually starting it. You know, once you start it, then you're just going to finish it.
But totally.
Once you make that little progress, then it's like, okay, do the next thing. And then it can snowball and get bigger and bigger and bigger. So
right. Imagine making half of your bed. You wouldn't.
You won't.
So
you won't.
All you have to do
exactly.
is make one half of your bed. And then you'll make the whole bed.
You'll finish it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good tip. I have another tip that I just found or I thought of right now. It's a horrible tip, but I'm going to give it to you anyway. Go to bed dehydrated. This is bad. Already, this is bad.
Oh, I see where you're going,
This
though.
Is already super unhealthy for you, so
However,
don't do this.
Okay.
But you could.
You could.
So go to bed dehydrated, and then when you wake up, you're going to be so parched, you're going to want to die. Then...
Whoa!
But now that you're so desperate for water, tell yourself that you won't be able to get a glass of water until you do one thing to feel productive.
I guess you'll just go get a water. That'll be like, hey, I'm kind of dying. I don't have to be productive. I need to live first. You know?
But yeah, that would be productive because then you would walk out of your room
yep.
to the kitchen.
Exactly.
You'd get something for yourself and then you're up.
Yeah. Hey, it will wake you up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Honestly, I stand by that tip.
Okay. I'll test it tomorrow.
Oh, my God.
Oh, that was the last time we heard from Hawk.
That was it.
All right.
Okay. Here's our next question.
Okay. Let's do it.
I'm a freshman in college and I'm currently attending a very competitive art school.
Ooh.
I came in confident of my abilities, but have slowly started to notice that everyone around me seems to have more experience than I do. I'm finding myself growing more and more insecure. I can't help but compare myself to others. These insecurities are holding me back from trying out for clubs or extracurriculars because I fear that I won't be good enough. Do you have any advice on how to not compare your skill to those around you? From Creatively Crushed.
That's a tough one.
That
I
is
feel
a
like,
tough one.
Especially in this day and age, it happens so much because you see everything.
Yeah.
This is filled with information. I actually have the same problem too.
So do I.
Yeah. I think if anything, what I try to do, it's like a healthy and unhealthy psychological thing that happens. But my starting point is thinking that I suck.
Ooh.
Yeah. I already think there's nothing. So you have to do everything to prove yourself wrong.
Right.
And because of that starting
nice.
Point, you ended up making products. But so the result is great, you know.
Yes.
But mentally, it sucks because
it's crippling.
You're always not good.
Right. You know? But that's so good if you have the work ethic in order to prove yourself wrong. As long as you don't get stuck in that, like if
right.
someone is like, oh, I'm going to pretend like I'm bad at everything.
Mm-hmm.
And then they start believing it.
Right.
Then it's bad.
Just leave like 5% of a gap that you know you're doing it to yourself. Like
yes.
it's not real.
Right.
But if you can actually find a system that works for yourself
mm-hmm.
because you already think that way, then actually you can use it as a plus rather
yeah.
than just a minus, you know?
There's a quote I read that was, I forget exactly.
Mm-hmm.
I love that I'm like trying to say something and I'm like, I have nothing to back this up.
There's this amazing thing that I actually don't remember at all. However, it goes like this.
It was something along the lines of, pretend you're a champion at what you want to do and then work diligently to become being a champion. And the gap in between belief and reality will soon close.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of
exactly
what you said in words that I don't remember.
Right. And it's like success is just a perception, you
mm.
know? And it's not like this solid line that all of a sudden you jump to it. It's just a continuation of every single day, you know?
Yeah. Success looks like a heart monitor. Like, it's up and down.
Yeah. And honestly, I think it's hard, maybe, you know, if you got this question now, to compare it to the others, because you only see the good parts of the others.
Yes.
You know?
Well, yeah. I talk about it all the time. I'm like, why would anyone post pictures of them crying or them like being cripplingly like detrimental to their mentality that they don't think that they're good enough?
Right.
No one is. I mean, I guess now it's a little bit more easy to be vulnerable like that. Mm-hmm. But when you go on Instagram, people have posed for these pictures.
Right.
They've made sure they look in the best light so that they can be seen how they want to be seen.
And I think just understanding that might make it a little bit easier for yourself to not think that you're below all these people.
Right.
If you actually talk to them, it's not all that they have the highs, they have the lows just like you, you know?
100%.
And just if anything, I think it's for everyone. You can't take shortcuts if you want like an actual quality.
Yeah.
So just put your work in. And just have it come to you. If it doesn't come to you, you know, work harder and smarter. Mm-hmm. And just trust in that process.
100%. Yeah. There's another quote. I think this is a Drake lyric. He says, this is not Drake. Who cares? Someone said this in the world at one point in time.
Okay.
Put the work in until it works out. If you know who sings that song, let me know. Because I don't. Is it J. Cole? It's somebody like in the hip-hop sphere.
Yeah.
Either way.
It's all Gwen Stefani.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, no, that's a Katy Perry lyric.
Yeah. Oh, man. I think we helped.
I think so, too.
I feel confident about that one.
Okay, that was good.
We're going to take a break while Hawk gives us an extra piece of advice you can find on at Just a Tip Podcast on Instagram, and we'll be right back.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs. A gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
And we're back. Hawk is here taking a break from dancing and food blogging. By the way, your food pictures are out of this world.
Thank you. That's so pure good. Love. You pure are, love.
Pure
I,
love.
I love food so much.
Dude, same. We'll get into that.
Okay.
He's here to be in the studio with us. But before we get into act two, what are you absolutely obsessed with right now? Something that you can't get enough of in your life?
Honestly, food.
Oh, yeah, what's the best food you've had on this earth?
Oh, I think as of right now, we went to Italy, in Florence.
Yes.
There was a gorgonzola cheese and truffle gnocchi.
Oh my.
And it wasn't even that expensive. It wasn't even that expensive.
Yeah.
And Gina and I, we shared it, you know, and I'm not even kidding. Time slowed down a little bit.
Stop it.
It was so good that we were just like,
no way.
What is happening?
Have you ever cried from eating something?
I actually haven't cried from food.
Oh my God.
No.
I have, but that's just because when I'm on like on a very crazy diet and then I have the cheat day. Right.
Oh, okay.
I'm like the first, I remember there's a place called Gus's Fried Chicken here in LA. Have you had that yet?
No.
Not a lot of people know about it, but it's one of the main, I guess, like the best fried chickens. Like there's Roscoe's and there's this one that I don't remember what it's called, but Howland Ray's,
yeah.
There's like a 3-hour wait for that one.
Is there?
I don't know.
Oh, yeah, I think, yeah,
I
that's the one.
Up.
Yeah, no, there is.
And then there's
it's like Disneyland.
Yeah, yeah, it's Disneyland for poultry.
It's crazy.
But I remember being on a diet and we had me and my old roommate, we had the first bite of Gus's fried chicken. And I think we both looked at each other, probably how you and Gina did. And we just like were sobbing. I think like at one point, my roommate like tossed her head back to where I wasn't sure if she could breathe correctly. I think her throat cut her circulation of oxygen off. And I think she was done.
Yeah. I hate it because I could eat fried chicken or chicken wings every day.
Drumsticks or wings?
Drumsticks.
Yeah.
Yeah, if I had to pick.
I have a drumstick tip.
Okay.
Do you want to hear it?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, I don't know if this is how other people eat them, but instead of eating them like a little corn on the cob, like two hands, you take one, like your left pointer, index and thumb finger, and then index finger and thumb. Thumb finger. When's the last time someone said thumb finger? I am an alien. I don't know things. And so your left index and thumb and your right, and you twist them opposite each other, and then you grab each side of the drumstick, or I'm sorry, the wing.
Yeah.
Did you say wing or drumstick?
I said drumstick. That's why I swear you not, in my head the whole time, I was like, oh no, after she finishes all this explanation, I need to clarify what a drumstick is, because
I need to tell her she's wrong.
Wait, you're talking about the two bone thing, right?
Yeah, the wings.
That's the wing.
I'm wrong.
Okay.
I've never been more incorrect than this moment. I'm talking about, this is my quick wing tip. So you take your fingers, I'm going to finish it because I'm already halfway through, and then you twist them opposite each other and then pull outwards.
It comes out, right?
Yeah. Then you have one little wing bone on one side and one on the other, and then you just kind of go, yum, yum.
I've always known about that information.
Oh, really?
I think I tried it once.
This isn't new information?
No, but then, like, I love food, so obviously, but... I think I tried it once and it didn't work.
Oh.
So ever since then, I just eat it normally. And it's a hassle if you eat it normally.
It is.
And I think because of that, I like drumsticks.
Drumsticks, yes. Oh, yeah. I'm probably going to eat wings after this. Oh, God. What's your go-to wing flavor, like sauce on top of the wing, if they're not naked?
I do always like if they have like a mango habanero, little sweet but spicy. I love spicy food.
I do not.
You don't?
Because you do the hot ones challenge. Have you ever seen those videos on the internet?
I don't see, because I've had my fair share of things where it's so spicy it hurts.
Yes.
I don't get it. I mean, it's not joyful at that point.
Yeah, it's just hot
painful.
To kill you.
Yeah. And it's like, it just hurts. And I'm not.
And honestly, it's painful.
Yeah. And I would like to, you know, indulge and enjoy the flavor.
Yeah.
That's why I eat, not the pain stuff.
Do you cook too?
I do.
Oh, yeah. That's good.
So I think it was a mixture of things, but it helps me remember places because I have a really bad memory.
Whoa, that's awesome.
But I think when you connect it to senses, you can be like, oh, I remember this grilled octopus from Portugal. And then it kind of recalls your memories from or the Portugal trip. And then be like, oh, I remember this fish from Japan, you know. And if you, because it's like, it's a sense, you taste it, you know. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it's kind of like when you smell a certain smell of your childhood, it brings back all those memories.
Yeah.
I think I try to use it in that kind of way.
Oh, that's so good.
Yeah. And I think if you can learn and remember a certain flavor that you experience from across the seas, then you can recreate that back home.
Mm-hmm.
And then your library of flavors, it just, you know, expands as time goes by.
I love that. I love that so much of relating a flavor to a place. Because as of this point in my life, I get tattoos from wherever I go. So there's little souvenirs to be like, yeah, I'm like, this little one's from Paris and this one's from Greece.
Hey, that works
but,
too.
Yeah, it definitely works, but I feel like it would be better if it was not permanent and I can just taste it.
Well, I mean, that's a different way, yeah. And honestly, I'm so bad at remembering places, people, names, and faces.
Whoa, why?
I don't know.
I can't remember.
It's been so bad. For as far as I can remember, even since when I was a little kid and we would have family gatherings, I would never know who anyone is and I would always ask. And my family would always get tired of me asking and it's just always been a thing.
Yeah. Whoa.
I think I can fix it if I put my mind to it. So that I feel like I'm a bad person because I'm not prioritizing I could, but I don't kind of thing. Yeah, I'm just bad at remembering.
You'll get there.
Yeah, one day.
If you remember to work on it.
Yeah. Megan, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, my name is Jennifer.
Oh, whoa.
Okay, this next segment, we don't have a jingle for it. So after I say it, you have to make one up.
Oh, okay.
It doesn't have to be a jingle. It can be like a quick little sound. Okay. But whatever it is, it has to come from your mouth.
Gotcha.
And now it's time for our tip jar section.
Ba-da-ba-ba-dum-bum.
Really good symbol.
I planned that.
This is the part of the show where we take to Twitter for a segment we call Tip Jar. I'm going to read a short suggestion that was tweeted at me, and we have to weigh in with one quick tip on each subject. Here we go. Oh, this works because we were just talking about traveling. Our first one is tourist attractions.
Okay.
What is your tip on tourist attractions?
What do you mean?
Do you have
that's
one that's
a broad.
It's so broad.
Earth. Go. What's your answer? What?
Do you have a favorite tourist attraction or do you have a tip on going to tourist attractions in other countries?
Do your research.
Okay, do your research.
Yeah. Yeah, uh-huh. 100%. There's so many tourist traps mm-hmm. and it depends on what you like, but you don't want to be upset, you know, afterwards. And most of the time you have limited time once you're there and you have more time before you go. So just do your research, make sure you know stuff. But always leave a little bit of room for surprise.
Yeah.
That's the best part about it, too.
I think that there's a website out there. I remember when I went to Paris, I was like, I want to feel like a local. Mm-hmm. And I think it's probably not this, but something along the lines of like livelikealocal.com or something like that. Uh-huh. If you just Google live like a local, I'm sure you can find something. But it's people that live in these cities that you're going to that kind of give you the insight of like, oh, here's a speakeasy bar that only people that live in Paris would go to. So you don't get caught in all of the thirst traps. Oh my God.
Thirst traps.
The fact that was so quick on my tongue as a Freudian slip, I don't know how I feel about it.
Okay. Make sure you check out the thirst traps, guys.
But yeah, so you don't get caught up in the tourist attractions. Mm-hmm. That would be my tip.
Yeah. And just be mindful too, the local favorites. It's a favorite because you have to understand the different perspectives too. Like if you live there, you might like it more too. There's a reason certain tourist attractions are good too. So don't completely deny it. There's definitely some good too. But just beware, it could be overpriced for what it is.
100%. I wonder if when you moved to LA, did you knock out all of the LA attractions right away?
I didn't.
You didn't?
No, because I lived on campus and I didn't have a car.
Uh-huh.
So I didn't even see the Hollywood sign till maybe 5 years in after living here.
No way.
Yeah, because I think, you know, the first year you have like a huge desire to, oh, I want to go to Hollywood. I don't even know what's in downtown, but I heard it's cool. So I want to go there. Santa Monica, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And then I had all this desire, but I didn't really have the tools it could have been as easy as asking my classmates that had a car.
Totally.
But I didn't want to be that guy. So I didn't. And then I think, after a year, that desire kind of went down. And I think I was working on set or something. And the place where we were at, you can happen to see the sign. I was like, oh, wow, that's the first time.
That's a cool way to see it for the first time.
It was like weird. Yeah.
I just Google stuff and I'm like, nope, I saw it.
Hey, that's the modern day.
Yeah, Google Earth, take a trip anywhere.
There we go.
Without leaving.
It's like you're walking.
I don't remember the first time I saw any. Well, I remember going to Venice Beach in Santa Monica. What else is there? There's the Hollywood sign. There's LACMA, which is like the thing of light outside the museum. Right. There's, I guess now there's the Broad Museum, but before it was something else.
Yeah, there's a lot of really nice like Getty and stuff too.
Yeah, I don't think I've been to a single museum since I've been here.
Really?
Yeah.
That
I've been to the Hollywood sign one time because I was training for a half marathon and my running coach wanted to do it.
We recently, I actually went with Ryan end of last year. And because you know there's a trail that goes behind it.
Yes.
And you can get really close to it. Mm-hmm. We were going to take that. But then I don't know how because the trail is really simple, but we got lost.
Okay.
So we were like, okay, but we want to go to the sign. Let's just go straight towards the sign. And we're just joking about it, but we actually ended up going straight to the sign.
Whoa.
To the point that I guess we were trespassing. We didn't know.
Oh, no.
And like the patrol people.
Oh, no.
They were talking to us and we were like, oh.
Wait, did they have like speakers in?
Yeah.
They have speakers.
Yeah. And we didn't know, but we were pretty close to it.
Do you remember a couple years ago where someone in the middle of the night changed the Hollywood sign to Hollyweed? So maybe they don't have 24-hour surveillance, because that was crazy.
That was crazy.
If you've been to the Hollywood, if you've been
Hollywood thirst trap.
These are all parodies of the actual things. If you've ever been to the Hollywood sign, it's pretty big.
Yeah.
So for them to change that sign, they must have had really big materials. Like, that was
and
a lot of
work. Carry that? I mean,
because also you can't drive up to it. Hike is like 3 or more miles.
Yeah, they had to carry that whatever thing they put.
That was
on
a lot
letters.
Of work for them.
Yeah, just for a look at what I did.
I really want to know what happened to them.
I don't know. Do they even know who did it? Probably not.
I don't
huh?
know. Because it was fixed immediately.
Oh, was it?
It was like, it was on the news, and then the next thing I saw, it was done. Yeah. So they were on it.
Quick in, quick out, just pop up.
Yeah. Wow. Well, that's our tip on tourist attractions. I don't know if I can give a tip on this because I have white girl hair, but our next tip jar suggestion is Asian hair.
Okay.
Do you have a tip on Asian hair? Do you have Asian hair, first of all? Do you?
I think so, yeah. Well,
what is Asian hair? Is it just softer than other people's?
No, I think it's actually more thicker or... I know it, compared to white girl hair or white people hair.
Yeah.
It's saying white people appropriate. I feel like there's
I'm
so
sure.
much things nowadays like, oh, that's wrong.
As long as we know that we don't mean anything bad by it.
No.
And we're also saying good things. Let's both say one good thing about white people hair.
They are nice looking. Well, my girlfriend's white, so it's like, why would I have anything against
it? I think white people hair is very soft, and I think it looks very fun to toss around. Okay, now that we said two nice things, we can talk about Asian hair.
Asian hair, yeah. You know what? It's sad, because this will be a great question for Gina.
That would be.
Because she's a hairstylist.
I should have her on and talk about hair the whole time because she hates when I cut. Hawk's girlfriend is my hairstylist, and I cut my hair when I'm traveling, and I always have to come in and be like, I'm sorry.
That's funny. Yeah, and it's funny because I'm Asian, but I think she already had a lot of Asian girl clients before even we're together, because a lot of people think it has to do with me. It has nothing to do with me.
Right.
You know? And I do know how colors go in. Oh, here's another thing that's good about white girl hair is that I think putting color in is a lot easier.
Oh, right.
Because you know? For Asian hair, because it's
like
darker
black,
and thicker, you have to lift it first.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess it damages a little bit. And then you have to do it hoping that it will go in. So I think it's always a little bit harder.
Hoping is the worst word for hair.
Oh,
I'm always like, hope this turns out well. Yeah. And it's like, oh my God, if it doesn't, that's the whole thing.
Yeah. But I mean, worst case scenario, it's just going to look like my hair. So this is the worst case scenario. I'm always like, kind of save it. And then, I had to change my mind. Just braid it. Yeah.
Do you change your mind in the chair?
No, I don't.
It that's good.
It just ends up like this. Yeah.
So
I
actually had
a full head, like cornrow in the beginning.
In the beginning of?
Actually, it was a process.
Time?
In the beginning of time. Yes. Remember Jesus? He was like, yo. When I first moved, I didn't know where to go for, you know, and you're a college student. So it's like, what do I do?
Right.
So it just grew for a year.
Yeah.
And then I wanted to get cornrowed. So I did. And then it looks nice, but it gets so itchy.
You
can't do anything. You have to just pat down, you know?
You know what I used to do?
What?
Cornrows? I did
you
half.
Did.
Only half because in our, I'm from Florida and our cheerleading team was from this place called Sanford.
Uh-huh.
And we would go get our hair like half cornrowed in the beginning by some of our teammates, and then we would curl the rest put it in a ponytail. And so they would do it so tight. They're like incredible, the girls on my team. And I would take Bic mechanical pencils and, you know, put some, click it a couple times, and then just kind of go inside the braid and just, like, shift around.
Yeah, no, if it's half shaved, I mean, that's why I did it, because I was like, I need to figure out a way how I can scratch around it, you know?
Yeah.
And I had never actually seen anyone shave right next to a braid. So I was like, you know what? I'll try it. Worst case, it's just going to grow back.
Yeah,
you know?
That's the good thing.
So I did it. Yeah.
That's very cool.
Yeah. It's interesting, though, because I was actually in the Black Students Union.
Okay.
When I was in college. And it wasn't until I think I told the Quest guys that they were like, what? Because I already grew up with people that's different from mm-hmm. me in England. So I was like, oh, I love the black culture.
Right.
You know, I'm dancing. Like, I just thought it was a natural thing. But I'm sure it was weird from the outside. It's like one Asian dude, you know. But from my perspective, everyone's the same. So,
right.
Yeah, it wasn't a big deal.
If you've ever seen a picture of Quest Crew, if you're listening now, all of you guys have very distinct and out there hair cuts and colors. Are you used to? Mm-hmm. Was that something that you guys talked about as a crew? Or are you like, let's all do something crazy?
No, not really. I think Ryan already liked to do hair his own way. Mm-hmm. And I think because Eris was always with Ryan, you know, he became like that too. I kind of became like my style, whatever, because of a different path that I took. And it just, yeah, it was just like, it was a coincidence. Like from the outside, it was packaged like that, but it really was just a coincidence. And yeah, it's not like a fake character that we wanted to make, you know. It was like, oh, I guess you could see it that way. But
that's so cool that everyone just kind of,
you know. So yeah, that was interesting.
That'd be a good, did like Paul Mitchell ever sponsor you guys? Because that would be a layup for them. Like, and here's like our new line of hair color.
Right. No, but I think they used us on the ad at some point a long time ago.
That would make a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Okay. That's our tip on Asian hair.
Our tangents.
Do you have a tip mm-hmm. on being late?
Tip on being late. Again, see, these are all my questions. I'm
really?
Yes.
Are you a late goer?
I am by a tiny bit.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's good. Do you leave when you should, when, I guess if you map something out, do you leave when it says you should leave, or you go, okay, it tells me I should leave at 12:30. I'm going to leave at 12:20.
Well, this year I'm trying harder to set it already beforehand, because I feel like in my head, naturally, I'm like, oh, 10 minutes isn't going to do anything. But I also do, I feel like you should, if it's not going to do anything, you might as well be there 10 minutes earlier.
I know.
Yeah.
Exactly. There's an unwritten rule. Maybe it's written. Everything is written on the internet. Mm-hmm. But there's something that was written in a job interview scenario where it's like, if you're 15 minutes early, you're on time. Uh-huh. If you're on time, you're late.
Yeah.
And I think that stuck with me so hard to where if I have to be somewhere at 8:30, like I'm getting there at 8:15 and I'll park somewhere just right around the corner and I'll just be there.
Yeah.
The fact that I'm there, I'm not stressed out and I'll be good.
I mean, 100%, that's the best way to do it.
Yeah, I guess that would be my tip. Get there 15 minutes before you need to.
There we go. These are all my questions today.
Maybe you can have a tip on public speaking, though.
Oh.
Do you have a tip on one of those?
Tip on public speaking. I don't even know if I'm good or bad at it. I think just be yourself. You know, I think when the idea of how you're supposed to be mm-hmm. overwhelms you too much, then there's all these like boundaries and walls and things and, you know, you can't do any of it. But just be yourself. Like that's the best way to do it.
I know. That's the hardest thing to do. That's the easy, that and like just rip it off like a Band-Aid are the two easiest things to say and the hardest things to do.
Yeah.
But yeah, once you can get comfortable, I agree with you. I think my tip will be make sure your intro is not planned. Like have some leeway. It's almost like what you're talking about, like have that 5% left for surprise when you're traveling mm-hmm. or when you're making something up.
Yeah.
Have that 5% of leeway when you first start at the very top, when like you come out to any crowd ever. Like what I used to do when I performed at colleges, I would ask like, what's the coolest thing to do? Or like, what do I need to do to get them to feel a little bit more personally attached?
Right.
And then also like, oh, she's listening to us and we are here for a reason. We're not listening to someone talk. So when you walk onto a stage or in front of your class, say something that involves everyone to be like, we're all on the same page here. We're all humans. No one's, you know, like more nervous than one another. I am the most nervous no matter what at all times. So if you could just say one thing at the top of whatever you're doing to get everyone lubricated and warmed up. Hate that I use the word that lubricated, but it's too late to take that now. So I'm going with it. Yeah. That'll help you be yourself too, if you can kind of get the wheels turning.
Yeah, 100%.
Okay. Our last tip is having energy.
Tip on having energy. Oh, take pre-workout?
Have you ever?
I don't. Gina takes it, but I don't. It doesn't really do much to
I've
me.
Never. I'm too scared.
Have energy. What's a good way to have energy?
Or to conserve energy so that you can have it later. Are you an introvert or an extrovert?
What do you think? From what you've seen and what you know of me, what do you think?
That's really hard because the most I've seen you is on stage.
Oh, that's true.
And that would be extremely extroverted. But from knowing how smart you are, I'm not saying that smarter people are not extroverts, but from the people in my life that are very like brainy and cerebral, I feel like they're generally a little bit more intuitive in their minds. So I'm going to say that you're an introvert that is able to be extroverted when necessary.
That is pretty damn spot on.
Woo!
Yeah. I'm a complete introvert though. For sure.
Okay.
Yeah. And I don't think I actually learned about introverts and extroverts till later on in life, you know? And then actually recently, I think it was last year or the year before, I asked my parents and they said they're both introverts too, you know?
So
and
it's almost inherited.
Yeah. But the thing is, the existence of parents and existence of introverts, extroverts, you learn them way different. Like you know your parents and when you're born, and then 30 years later you learn about that. So when you put those together, it's a shock.
Yeah, know? 30 years later you become your parents.
It's like,
also.
Oh, weird, you know. But I think, you know, it's just the ability to be okay by yourself.
Yeah, I'm an extreme introvert too.
I love being by myself.
I love being alone.
Yeah.
Like there's a difference between being alone because you don't have an option and being alone because you have the option.
Mm-hmm.
And having the option to be alone is the best place to be.
Yeah.
But I like, do you ever feel lonely sometimes because you're so used to being alone? And then when you don't want to be alone, you're like, I don't know what to do now.
I think that the first time I ever felt that was last year when I was working a lot in China. Maybe because I was stressed. I don't know.
And then because you don't have the option to be around anyone sometimes.
Yeah, maybe that's why. Like when you have the option, it's great. But when you don't, you miss people.
Yeah. When you go to parties, what's your go-to move? Do you get there early so you can leave early? Here's my actual question.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. No. It's just how long do you think you should be at a party before you can leave as an introvert? Because, right, I clock my time. I go, I'm getting here at this time. I'm not going to tell my answer because I want to hear yours. I'll put X amount of time in and then no one will think I'm a bad person for leaving.
I don't think there's a set time. I've never consciously set a time for that. I try my best to actually enjoy the time there. But
what's that like, enjoying time at a party?
But then I think I end up finding myself just sitting down on the chair and then observing and be like, all right, I've enjoyed, like maxed out, I'm going to leave.
Okay, so you feel it out. That's pretty good.
Yeah, I try to. Because I feel like, I don't know, just me, if you set it, you're not going to be able to enjoy it at all.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're only waiting for that clock to tick, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that's one way, but you also want to leave a space to actually enjoy the party if it is fun.
Yeah. Know? What's the minimum amount of time that you would be at a party?
See, I think it's a difference because a lot of times I'm physically there, but mentally I'm already
I'm
home.
Already on my couch. You know? So it doesn't matter how long.
I think if you ask my friends, a lot of times, like, well, yeah, he's kind of there. You know, his body's there. Yeah. A part of me wishes I could have that other side where you can just, lots of people, blah, 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 you know, but
it's just so much work. I mean, I love people, but I love people in very direct ways, like one-on-one, like now, or three people. If I had a game night, max four people.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I don't like being at parties because it drains my energy.
Yeah.
So being alone, like having energy, I think I can only get alone or one-on-one.
I agree. Even in group chats, I become silent because it's like...
Even a group chat.
You don't... You know, I think when it's that many people, Mm-hmm. It's really not going to make that much difference if you say anything or not. Like, right. The conversation is probably going to carry on. But when it's one-on-one.
Yeah, it's
hey,
not.
Do you want lunch? You have to say something. It's like, yeah. So I definitely prefer more like one-on-one or small group situations.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So our closing tip on having energy, you can go first.
Having energy is just be ambitious with life. And I think it will naturally come.
That's yeah. way better than my tip.
You don't have to force anything. You're naturally going to want to do stuff. Yeah. Be curious.
Wow.
Stay curious.
Look at that. My tip is have coffee. Anyway, thank you, Hawk, for being here. Where can people find you on the internet?
The easiest way is on Instagram. It's mm-hmm. just H-O-K.
That's so cool. How long really have you short. Had to have that before someone else was like, I want this username?
A lot of people hit me up, but actually someone else had it before.
No way.
Yeah, but they never, they had like two posts and like they were inactive for years. So
you hit them up and were like, I need this.
No, I think someone I knew worked for Instagram, they got it for me.
Oh, what but a nice gift.
It took ages though.
Yeah.
Because it was like, hey, I think I should have a name more than this person. He's not doing anything. Like at least do something with sure. it if you're going to have it. Yeah.
Whoa, so, that's cool. Yeah, I could never imagine having just Megan. I think that's so cool.
M.
Just M.
M. At M.
Whoa.
Yeah, but just H-O-K. Nice and simple.
H-O-K. Check it out. You won't be disappointed. Yay. If you have a sticky situation or burning concern, email us at justatipshow@gmail.com and be sure to sign off sleepless in Seattle style so we don't out your true persona. Double points if you mention your age and all these other elements that would help us because then we can help you better. Also rate us 5 stars because life is a doozy and what will remedy that? 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. Bye.
Bye.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.